So one day in 2006, I received a telephone call that changed my life. At the time, for about 15 years, I had been an attorney for poor people, mostly on behalf of poor children. And most recently, since about 2001, I had filed a series of class action lawsuits against Maryland school districts on behalf of homeless children. So on the phone that day was Elise Driver, the homeless mother of five boys, whom I had been helping with their education issues in Prince George's County. And this story is primarily about two of her boys, Deshaun, who was 10 years old at the time, and Diamante, who was 12. So Mrs. Driver said to me that day, Miss Norris, I don't know if you can help me, but I've tried everything I can think of, and I don't know what else to do. Deshaun needs to see a dentist. His mouth hurts, and I can't find a dentist who will accept his Medicaid card. So she didn't know that I worked on health access issues as well. She only knew me as an education attorney, but it just so happened that I did work on Medicaid issues, and I had not heard that there was any problem with access to dental care for kids on Medicaid in Maryland, but I was about to find out. So I started by calling the 800 number on the back of Sean's Medicaid card, which was to his Medicaid HMO. And they said, "We don't handle dental care, but here's another 800 number you can call." So I called that number, and that was for his dental HMO. And they were perfectly happy to send me a long list of dentists that they said were in their network. But they said, be sure you check first before you make an appointment for him, because a lot of the dentists have been dropping their contracts with us recently. So we started at the top of the list. We didn't care. You know, these were all in dentists in Prince George's County. So we just started at the top of the list calling, and we called the first 26 dentists on the list, and none of them had a contract with this dental HMO anymore. So at that point, I called the Medicaid Beneficiary Helpline and spoke to a supervisor who eventually got two social workers and a nurse involved. And it took all of those people 3 weeks to find a dentist who would see Sean with his Medicaid card. So he went to the dentist, and it was a general dentist, and the dentist said, yeah, you have six rotten teeth in your mouth, and they all need to be pulled, but I can't do that for you because I'm a general dentist, and you need to see an oral surgeon. So we went back to the social workers and the nurse, and they spent three more weeks finding an oral surgeon who would be willing to see Sean. And Sean went to the appointment, and the oral surgeon said, yes, you know, I can help you. I can pull your teeth, but you'll have to come back next month. That's my first appointment that I can actually help you. Well, the oral surgeon canceled that appointment, made an appointment for 3 weeks later, and then promptly dropped the contract. Back to the social workers and the nurse, getting a second oral surgeon. So by this time, we're like 4 months into it. And that oral surgeon agreed six teeth needed to be pulled. He says, I can't start today. You need to come back in 3 weeks, which is my first appointment. And your treatment plan is that I will pull one tooth every month for the next 6 months. In the meantime, Diamante, who nobody knew had any dental issues whatsoever, complained one night of a really severe headache. And he was staying with his grandparents at the time. And his grandmother took him to an emergency room, and they said, you probably have a sinus infection, so here's some antibiotics and here's some painkiller and go home. 2 days later, he started to be delirious, and his mother described it that he was foaming at the mouth. So his mother took him to a different emergency room, and they did a spinal tap and discovered that he had a raging infection in his brain. He was rushed to DC Children's Hospital, into brain surgery, into the ICU. 24 hours later, he started to seize, back into brain surgery. And somewhere in between these two surgeries, they figured out that the source of the infection was a single tooth in his upper jaw that was abscessed. So he survives his brain surgeries and goes back to the ICU and then gets transferred to acute care. And eventually he is released from the hospital and transferred to a children's rehabilitation center where he gets physical therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy and all that good stuff, all the while still plugged into his IV antibiotic. Is still fighting the infection. But he's getting better. And his mother goes to visit him every day and spends the day with him, and his teachers come, and the kid's doing okay. And then one day he's not doing so well. And for a few days, his mother said he just wasn't acting like himself. And then one Saturday, she had been with him all day, and she said she took her leave of him that evening, and he said, Mom, don't forget to pray tonight. And it turns out that those were the last words that she heard her son say, because the next morning he was found unresponsive. We lost him. Well, what I haven't told you yet is over a period of about 3 weeks, Mrs. Driver and I had been working with a reporter at the Washington Post to tell Diamante's story. We wanted to tell whoever would listen that Maryland's Medicaid dental delivery system was broken. And here was Exhibit A. And the article was supposed to run on Tuesday morning. But when Diamante unexpectedly died on Sunday morning, they pulled the story and rewrote the ending. And then the article was published on the front page of the Metro section on Wednesday morning. Well, it just so happened that you may recall, this was now February of 2007, we had a new governor, Governor Martin O'Malley, and he happened to hold his cabinet meetings on Wednesday mornings. And I have it from somebody who was there that he had the newspaper with him that day, and he held the paper up at his cabinet meeting, and he said, "What are we going to do about this?" And that was the beginning of a very intensive year-long effort by oral health advocates in Maryland, including myself and lots of other people, and including Governor O'Malley and Congressman Cummings and the Secretary of Health, to utterly and totally reform Maryland's Medicaid dental delivery system. And it has gone from being the worst performing program in the country to being one of the top 10 now in 2013. So that phone call that day changed my life in a number of ways. One was that the Driver family and I are now family to each other. They're very, very dear to me, and we see each other frequently, and the boys are, you know, growing up and doing great. Secondly, I no longer sue people. I have adopted what I call more heart-centered and collaborative ways of solving problems and achieving social change. And the third thing is that I have worked on pretty much nothing but improving access to dental care for children ever since that day, first in Maryland and now all over the country. And the Driver family was changed, obviously, as a result of that experience as well. But there is some good news. The family is no longer homeless. And Mrs. Driver has become a dental assistant. So as she likes to say, she honors her son every day when she goes to work. Thank you.